Amen. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for coming. Welcome to the folks tuning in. So this week's parsha is called Mishpatim, which on the ordinary level refers to civil laws, ordinances having to do with running a society. And Mishpatim can also mean judgments. So I want to invite in the inquiry practice for this week a simple question, which is, what judgments are necessary right now? What judgments are necessary right now? Now, luckily, there's a fly flying around that keeps annoying all of us. I noticed, I think in Arizona, the flies are more annoying. I don't know. I've never experienced flies like so intent on getting on my face before I moved here. So that's a great metaphor, because our minds are doing the same thing. They're kind of always tickling us. We have perhaps a few moments of spaciousness, a few moments of openness, and then the mind comes and tickles us again with this or that concern, this or that worry. And if we're not aware of what we're doing with our minds, then we just get instantly absorbed in, right? So this kind of question, what kind of judgments are necessary for my mind? You can also say it like, what thinking is necessary right now? If just simply asking the question, what thinking is necessary right now? What do I need to think about right now? If you ask yourself that often, then very often you'll realize you don't really need to be thinking about anything right now. You're engaged in some activity in the moment that may need a specific type of thinking, but very often it doesn't really need any thinking. As long as you have the sense of your context of where you are and what you're doing, that's all you need. And so just asking the question, what thought is necessary now? What judgment is necessary now? Then it can become almost effortless to just put down your thoughts. Just put down your thoughts. There's a danger in any richly developed human endeavor. I'm going to give the example of music, because that's what I do. I don't do too many other things, so that's what I'll give the example of. So in music, it's important when a child is learning music to sing, and to sing simple things, because when you sing, it's very easy to be connected with the heart of music, with what the musical impulse is. And when you're learning how to go, put your finger down, and when you have the music, the sheet music in front of you, and you're reading the music, these are all necessary skills, and they make the music so much more rich when you're able to master these auxiliary skills. But they also have the problem of getting in the way of the music if you don't know how to stay connected with the music. So Judaism is very much like that. Judaism is such a richly complex tradition with all kinds of auxiliary skills that are in support of the spiritual core. The danger with Judaism, probably more than any other path that I'm aware of, the danger is that you can become very focused and fixated on the auxiliary skills. Again, it's not to say that those are bad at all. They add to the richness and the creative potential of the whole path, but you can get fixated on them and then you can lose connection with the spiritual core. So this Mishpatim is a good example also, because Mishpatim is giving the ground rules of how to live in a way that's basically fair. But that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with spirituality, other than that in order to have a foundation of spirituality, you have to have basic ethics, right? There's a story of a Hasidic master, Rabbi Mordechai, who, before he was a Rebbe, had a business, and he would put aside some of his money all year long in order to buy the most beautiful etrog for Sukkot. And so one time when it got close to Sukkot, he put the horse on his wagon and went off to the city to find the best etrog he could find. I don't know how the etrog trade happened in those days, how they got the etrogim, you know, to somewhere in Russia. But anyway, they could apparently get an etrog in the city. So he's on his way, and while he's on the road, he sees a water seller. Apparently people would go around on with their wagons and horses and sell water. And the horse had collapsed and died in the middle of the street, and the water seller was very distraught, didn't know what to do. So Reb Mordechai got out of his wagon, his carriage, whatever it's called, and took all of his money and offered to the man so that he could buy a new horse. And he said to himself, "What does it matter? If I buy the etrog or I help this man with a horse, this year everybody will be saying their bracha on the etrog for Sukkot. I'll say my bracha on the horse." Mishpatim doesn't say you have to do that. Right? So that's what I'm saying, is that the Mishpatim are just like, first of all, don't be completely selfish. Don't be completely coming from ego. Act in a way that's fair. But with this story, it's an example of someone who really gets the juice. He gets the simple core of it. What's the simple core? Love, connection, not being attached to what I think I want, and instead responding to what existence or the divine or being or the universe, however you want to call it, what opportunities is it giving me? What is it calling from me? In the Torah and in the Bible, it's put in very little literal terms. The divine voice literally speaks words to people. But in order for this to become useful to us, we have to understand that as a metaphor for what we're experiencing all the time, that the divine voice is always presenting things to us. And we can ask the question, what is being asked of me now? That was an inquiry phrase from a few weeks ago. But in this case, what thoughts are necessary now? And with that is the potential to just clear the space and to be in an open state to release the annoying impulses to be self-concerned, to be worrying, to be making sure that I'm getting my desires and needs met, instead being open, being trusting, being available as a vehicle. So there is a prayer that comes from a psalm that's said traditionally when you're about to put on the tzitzit. It says, Barchi nafshi et Hashem, bless the divine, O my soul. Elohai gadalta ma'od, you are, my God, you are very great. Hod v'hadar levashta, you have put on the clothing of hod, of glory and beauty. Ote or kasama, stretching out light like a curtain. Note shemayim kayaria, stretching out the heavens stretching out the heavens like a curtain. Anyway, so I want to use the last piece of it that says, note shemayim, stretching out the heavens. Now in this case, shemayim, the shemayim that we see, the heavens above, are a metaphor for clear mind, for the open space of an uncluttered, clear presence. Note Shemayim stretching out that open space, kairia, like a grand curtain. Kairia, like a curtain. Kairia. Try that. Kairia. So the whole second part. Note Shemayim. Note Shemayim. Kairia. bringing right hand to your heart. Offering your presence to the fullness of this moment with the word Lecha, offering for you, breathing in. Lecha. And also bringing left hand to belly and connecting with your body. Bringing your awareness to connect with your organs, your digestive system, respiratory system, reproductive system, immune system, circulatory system, and all the systems that we don't even know. Letting your awareness connect with, intimately connect with your body, with your organs, flowing down into your hips and into your legs. Flowing down your knees and your calves and your feet and your toes. And your lower back and belly, your chest, your heart, your lungs, shoulders and neck, releasing any excess tension. Feeling awareness flowing down your arms and hands and fingers. And into your face and skull, your brain and your nervous system, saturating the body with presence. And affirming with the word Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. Bringing right hand to touch your forehead. Understanding Note Shamayim Kayaria, that your consciousness is like the vast and open heavens. In fact, our awareness of space around our bodies, beyond our bodies, is in fact inseparable from your consciousness. Your consciousness is not just in your body, aware of space around you, but your consciousness is also space itself, spaciousness. And we'll chant Vinishma, breathing in. Vinishma. Kissing your fingers, relax your hands, wherever comfortable. Atahu, you now present as this full experience in this moment, from your physical body to the feelings of your heart, to whatever thoughts appear in the space, and to the space itself, the space of awareness itself. All of it is not in any way separate from the fullness of reality, from the fullness of being, from the divine. Atahu. Atahu. Thank you. just sitting, continuing to chant Atahu in the mind, noticing that when thoughts come into your mind, like the fly that may go on your face, so you just brush it off and then you just come back. No problem. You don't have to really push the thoughts away, actually, like the fly. You just kind of let them be there and they evaporate because they're empowered by your interest. If you just let them be there but don't be interested and don't follow them, then they just dissipate. We're going to sit for about 20 minutes and then I'll bring us out of the meditation with some soft piano music.
Shamayim, Kayerio. No te shamayim. No te shamayim. Shamayim, no te shamayim, kayerio. No te Shamayim, no te shamayim, kayeria.
Closing, bringing hand to your heart, offering presence with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha, and left hand to your belly, once again reaffirming connection with the body, with Naase, breathing in. Naase. And right hand touching forehead, aware of the space of awareness beyond the body, Vinishma. Vinishma. Amen. Amen. Yit gadal v'yit kadash shemei rabah. Be'ama divra chirute v'yamlich makute b'chayechon uv'yom echon uv'chaye decho beit Yisrael b'agala uv'izman kari v'imru amen Yehe shmei rabba mevorach le'olam ulamei almaya Yit barach v'yishtabach v'yit pa'ar v'yit romam v'yit nasei V'yitadar, v'yitale, v'yitalal, shemede kudsha, brichu, la'ela min kol birchata, v'shirata, tushpichata, v'nechemata, da'amiran be'alma, v'yamru, amen. Yehe shlama rabba min shemaya, v'chaim aleinu v'yalko Yisrael, v'yamru, amen. Ose shalom bimromav, hu yaase shalom aleinu v'yalko Yisrael v'yalko Yisrael v'yamru, amen, amen. Amakom yenechem etchem, may you be comforted with all who mourn. And may we all allow the broken heart, allow for the broken heart, and allow what feelings need to be felt. Allow those in. Give us space to feel, and invite the power of healing as well. Amen. Thank you so much for coming, everybody. All blessings. Have a blessed week. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a tech of life.